Hi, I'm Anushka.
And I'm Akila.
And you're listening to
Through the Fifth Dimension.
In this episode, we will be discussing society's obsession with categorization, aesthetics, and niche culture.
Yeah. So, I feel like the first thing we should talk about is, as you said, obsession with categorization. And I feel like that first started with, you know how like people would be like, oh, what type of girl are you? I'm a tomboy, I'm a girly girl, this and that. Yeah. That was more like the OG type of categorization.
Yeah, like when you're younger, I feel like it's mainly like girly girl and tomboy, either one of them.
Like, I don't know if there's like a guy version for this, but like specifically for girls, I think like...
We're focusing mainly like on women today and on girls today. So please keep that in mind when you're like listening to what we're saying.
Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, there was like girly girl and tomboy, and then it kind of just... Recently, in like after 2020, there's been more of these like aesthetics, like, you know, I feel like it started with like the indie aesthetic, then grunge aesthetic,
kidcore,
and all of those kind of lasted really short period of time. I feel like grunge is still there,
but hold on, it did start before 2020 because there's always a Tumblr phrase,
but like it got more like popularized because everyone was in mainstream quarantine media. And it became mainstream.
So I feel like it's always been there. There's always been that Lana Del Rey aesthetic, there's always been sad girl aesthetic, and now there's just like a very wide spectrum of aesthetics available to people. So what is an aesthetic? So there's obviously multiple definitions of what aesthetics are, but in the context we're discussing, it's basically a subculture centered around a specific set of tastes in things like fashion, music, and literature.
Yeah, and I feel like before we start talking about this, like the way it can get kind of, I don't know, obsessive or like toxic in a sense, I feel like I should preface this by saying, like, obviously there's nothing wrong with being like, oh, I identify with this, like, aesthetic, and being like, that's what you base your style off of. Maybe even your personality. Like, honestly, I'm all for, like, letting people just explore themselves. And if you identify with something, that's totally fine. But I think today in this episode, we're really just going to talk about, like, society, the way, like, we treat it as a society more than, like, an individual.
Right, so like actually undertaking or taking part in specific trends, niches, or aesthetics is a part of every teen's experience. Mm-hmm. And it's all used as like a tool in helping a teen in discovering themselves, as Akila said.
Yeah.
It's all, I feel like aesthetics are basically like a blueprint of where to start in things you like, right? For example, if like, let's say the preppy aesthetic little resonates with me more than other ones, then when I look at people who have those aesthetics and who kind of center their style around it too, like, I can take away from that. And that's my blueprint to start from what I like and how I could be a little more of what I want to be, right?
Yeah. And I feel like one point I want to bring up first is, like, some people, honestly, they look at a person with, like, a similar aesthetic to themselves, like, what they identify with, like, their style or, like, their music sense. And honestly, it's fine to, like, seek out friends purely based on, like, you know, their music taste. Because obviously you have something in similar with them. But one thing I do see happening, like, not as common, but, like, I feel like some people will, like, kind of just not want to be friends with people who are, like, outside of their sort of...
Right, I know what you mean. Outside the realm of aestheticness, like what they resonate with. Like, for example, you know, I feel like, forget that. Forget people accepting others. Actually, no, like, I feel like a lot of people avoid people with specific interests or aesthetics.
Yeah.
Like, especially when it comes to, like, anime culture.
Okay.
And people who like, oh my god, okay, so... I feel like I see this a lot with people who like anime because it's taken and people are like, oh, like that just relate the whole thing with cosplaying. And
I know, like it's okay.
This dramatic gesture.
Liking anime is not an aesthetic. It's just that people like categorize as one person.
Yeah, that's what, like, it's a community, right? Like a weeb community.
And this is like different to what we talked about in our like cult mentality fandom episode because that's talking about like, you know, the dark side of fandom. But like here we're just talking about like, say I literally go up to a girl and I'm like, hey, like, do you want to be friends? And then she's like, okay, what do you like? And if I say, like, okay, something that she doesn't really watch or, like, she thinks is cringe, she's probably going to be more lenient to someone else to be their friend.
Exactly. That's than what mine. I mean. Like, I feel like I specifically see this with, like, weeb culture. It's, you know, honestly, I'm sorry. Like, people who tell me that into cosplaying is a little red flag for me. And I feel like that's wrong. Like, I'm trying to fix that. Like, I don't want to judge.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I would swerve.
See, for me personally, I feel like I don't really immediately go away from someone the second they tell me, okay, I like XXXTentacion. Like, listen, I don't like that music, but I'm not gonna, like, walk away.
Yeah.
See, obviously, like, I make jokes about things like this. I'm like, okay, if a guy listens to Drake, then run away, like, he's a red flag. I don't know, like, I just, okay, it's just an example,
Drake.
Okay. It's just an example.
Drake,
like, Kanye West. If a guy listens to Kanye West, then he's a red flag, or something like that. But the thing is, obviously, like, unless I get to know the person, just based on one thing, like, I don't know, like, it's so weird to me, like, obviously, you can be friends with whoever the hell you want, okay? I'm not gonna sit here and be like, you should go make friends with the weeb girl in your class. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's just kind of odd to me when I see people seeking out friendships just based on one thing.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. I just remembered, like, furries. That's my problem.
Okay, I would run away. Sorry, if you're a furry listening to this, we don't approve.
I'm sorry, we don't approve. But, like, that's what I mean. Like, aesthetics, it's really important. I feel like in our generation, it is really important. It says a lot about a person when they pick a specific aesthetic, or they sort of, like, showcase that they're part, or they appreciate a specific aesthetic. The problem is, I find the problem with this whole aesthetic culture, or niche culture, is that, especially with girls, because we're talking about girls in this episode, is that a lot of girls sort of take these aesthetics or niches and mold the entire personality around it.
Exactly.
You know, and like,
it's so, okay, the thing is, like, I don't find anything fundamentally wrong with it, but if it's to the point where you're changing your personality just to fit in with, like, other girls who are part of this aesthetic.
And to fit, like, into that aesthetic in general, like,
and when people call you, hey, you're not actually coquette, you're, like, this other aesthetic.
I was just going to give that example.
Yeah.
Okay, like, for example, like, with coquette aesthetic, I feel like every person who sort of even, like, they feel like that coquette aesthetic is for them.
Yeah.
It's like they have to like Lana Del Rey, they have to like Lolita, and they have to like shirt tights. Others are not part of the coquette aesthetic. It's that, I feel like it's become that strict, and people start gatekeeping the aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult. Like, I feel like there's a lot of acceptance around aesthetics.
Yeah. And, like, I've seen this very specifically around, like, alt fashion. And obviously, I don't know that much about it. I just, like the fashion, and I like looking at people wearing that. I like sometimes buying some of my own. I don't know if they're considered alt. Because this is one thing. It's like, okay, what if I assume something is alt and someone else is like, no, that's not alt, okay? You can't just call yourself that.
Yeah, it depends on people's perspectives too.
Yeah, it also does depend on people's perspective, because fashion is, like, different to each individual, and it's a way of someone expressing themselves. And if they want to call something, I don't know, that's something that's not goth,
like,
goth.
For example, me, like, cottagecore and coquette are not very different.
I feel like they're very different. But, like, see, the thing is,
okay,
it doesn't really matter to me that much anymore, because I feel like, okay, at one point, I was
coquette and light academia. For me, they're not that different.
Coquette, like, is more, like, very pink, right?
Even light academia, I feel like, is very pink. But it's just, it's more centered about, like, around books and literature and consuming.
I cannot keep up with all these
That's
things.
That's, like, I feel like because of people, like, people just really, like, are very specific about things. Like, they really like to nitpick, and even if one thing is missing or somebody's checklist, they're kind of not accepted into that community. Like, I feel like even, like, when we spoke about fandoms and all in our previous episode, we spoke about people, like, let's say if you're like, oh, I like Taylor Swift, then somebody be like, name like 10 of her songs.
That is a good example.
Yeah,
because
it's prominent here too, like, in this aesthetic culture.
Because, like, if you say, okay, I like Nirvana, and, like, a dude will be like, name like 10 songs or you're not a true fan.
It's like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like, the way it's like, okay, if you're a true goth, then name every single goth song made and have every single goth item. Or, like, if you're a true coquette, if you're a true this, It's just so, like, annoying because, okay, see, the thing is, obviously, like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I haven't been like, okay, that's not actually God. That's not actually this. That's not actually that. Like, everyone's had that annoying teenager phase. I feel like, you know, when you just follow what everyone else does. And I feel like aesthetics are, like, mostly that. Like, you follow what everyone else does. And I feel like I've, like, matured to realize that it's not that big of a deal. Let people do what they want. And if I find it cringe, I'm not going to sit here and write a hate comment or be like, or like go up to that person and be like, hey, this is not really this and you should like stop doing that because it's cringe. Like if I think something is cringe, I'm going to keep it to myself or maybe even joke about it with my friends. But like, if I know the person personally, I feel like it would be very hurtful to go up to them and be like, you're cringe. The whole idea of cringe culture is very subjective as well. I feel like we should get into that later.
We should. But, you know, like, for people who are not really understanding what I mean with, like, the problem I'm trying to point out with aesthetic culture, like, I want to, like, talk about, like, for example, VSCO girls.
Do you remember?
It's like you could qualify to be a VSCO girl if you had, like, for example, those six items. Like, that water bottle, I forgot the
Hydroflask.
Yeah, hydroflask, a steel straw, like the shell necklace thing.
Shell necklace. Oversized shirts.
Sweatshirts,
yeah. Scrunchies. What else was there?
And like something like Save the Turtle aesthetic.
The one spray like that.
Oh my god,
I bought that Mario Badescu. I never used it after that.
So like, that's what I mean. Like, it's that... There's, like, you need a qualification to enter aesthetics. It's not that light. Like, it's a process, okay? That's what I believe. And this, I think, leads to the point that a lot of these aesthetics kind of make people feel left out. Because, it, like, let's say, like, clean girl aesthetic, not everyone could afford everything that's involved in that aesthetic, right? And because they can't get that, a lot of people feel excluded because you're made to feel like, oh, you're not... part of this aesthetic, you're not part of this, you're not, you don't have that vibe. Like, it's not fair. Like, honestly, like, for VSCO girls, back to that example, like, I don't think everyone can get a Hydro Flask and, like, Mario Badescu, because that was actually, like, being here, do you remember how difficult it was to get a Mario Badescu?
That's what, like,
spray?
When I went to the US and I, like, found one of those, I was like, oh my god, I'm a VSCO girl now, guys.
That's what, like, I feel like there's a lot of thing with inaccessibility too. Like, that's what I mean. Like, having those sort of, like, list of things you need to fulfill, prerequisites to be part of an aesthetic is so isolating for some people when they can't get those things.
Exactly. And it's, like, when, for me personally, I feel like I really like enjoying, like, fashion and, like, trying to find my own style. But when I see these 50 million types of aesthetics, and I feel like my, like, the way I dress is, like, kind of basic, but at the same time, it falls under some categories, falls under some other ones.
Yeah,
and
it's confusing.
It's confusing and it's hard for me to keep up. So when there's like a specific way you need to define the way you dress, and I feel like for me, the way I dress is like a way of me expressing myself. I hate having to categorize everything. Like, it's like, honestly, like, if I want to identify with being like old fashion or whatever, with having old fashion, like, I'd do that. But the thing is, when I do say something like that, there's gonna be people who are like, no, you're a poser, like,
you don't really understand or appreciate old fashion. Like, it's like that. Like, I feel like the, like, see, at the end of the day, before you take what I'm trying to say and like run with it and say something negative with it, I think aesthetics is great. To have those niche cultures is also really good. There are a lot of positives to it. As I said, it's a blueprint for teenagers who are trying to understand what they want to fit in. Like, it's great, okay? It does promote or encourage a lot of great things and a lot of new interests and, like, styles and all. That's great. But also, I feel like it kind of really pushes that agenda, reinforces the idea that we are what we consume and that defines us. Like, that defines us and we are not anything beyond that. Do you get what I mean?
Yes, I do get what you mean, because obviously aesthetics have been there for a long time. It's just like now that they're starting to give it names and they're known
and
as aesthetics.
So many names, not even like it's not even like four aesthetics, they're like so many. And it's, it kind of also, okay, I feel like a lot of people either, this is how it goes, people either really embrace the aesthetic culture, they find their aesthetic, they find their niche, and they're like happy with it, they stick with it, or that go into this whole, like, slump into being, like, individualism,
mm-hmm.
but to the point where it's, like, that if they undermine other people, you know, yeah. other people's interests and activities, and they degrade them for exactly. picking an aesthetic. Like, I feel like one really popular example where mm-hmm. we can see, like, individualism kind of gone wrong, like, again, this, you should be your individual person.
Yeah. Like, but if you have this superiority complex,
like, that's not great. Like, yeah. just my, like, do what you want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the thing is with, like, individualism, I feel like it gives way to stuff like pick me girls. Yeah. Again, like, it's so sad to see that people trying to branch out also get categorized into something
mm-hmm.
like pick me girls. But, like, we really need to talk about pick me girl culture.
I feel like that's, again, related to, like, our old episodes where we talked about, like, you know, internalized misogyny
yeah,
and this... toxic femininity. Things like that is, like, what it's related to. But at the same time, it's also about, like, a woman wanting to be different, a woman yeah. wanting to be an individual, her own person.
But the problem is that she wants to be individual, and, like, she wants to showcase that individuality by putting down other girls. That's mm-hmm. it's pick me.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, that's the problem with it. I feel like a lot of people who go down this, like, route of really, like, abstaining from the popular mainstream
mm-hmm.
things, like, go down this route of, like, oh, I am superior exactly. and I am the greatest. And there's nothing wrong. You should have that self-confidence, but don't link it to degrading others.
Exactly.
Like, look at yourself as, like, the best version you can be. But, like, don't, like, look at, like, don't put down others for yeah. what they're trying to pick. If it's different than yours, it's different than yours. They have a different, like, style. They have different tastes. That doesn't make it bad.
Yeah. A lot of people who, like, have, like, underground music taste or whatever.
Oh my god, that's another thing.
That really, really bothers me because it's, like,
gatekeeping. Okay,
you listen to, it's not even when they gatekeep. It's just, like, in general, like, when they listen to, like, underground artists. And, like, I do listen to some artists who are not that well known. But at the same time, I also listen to a lot of popular songs. Like, I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to sit here and be like, okay, no, they're mainstream, so I'm not going to sit here and listen to them. No, obviously, I listen to a lot of popular songs. I listen to, like, really well-known genres like pop and, like, K-pop, yeah. whatever. I listen to whatever. And, like, when I tell some people, like, okay, so I have, like, specific underground I don't even want to call it underground. Like, I have specific, like,
indie, like, not that mainstream.
Not that mainstream taste, as yeah. well as listening to popular songs. So when I make friends who are just, like, plainly just, I don't know, like, I'm so underground, guys. Like, I only listen to indie music. Like, things like that. And then when I tell them, okay, I listen to Taylor Swift or something.
Yeah.
Then they get so, like, flabbergasted. They're like, what
Why
do you mean?
Why is everyone, like, upset with Taylor Swift?
Because what she's mainstream, bro. I don't know. Like, the thing is, like, okay, if I say I listen to, I don't know, Katy Perry or something. I don't. But, like, if
I
do
god,
say...
I haven't heard about Katy Perry in so long.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, say I listen to goth music or something. I mean, yeah. I don't.
About, like, mainstream. Like, this doesn't only go with music. It goes with, like, books, movies, and anything. Just because something is mainstream doesn't automatically make it overrated or yeah. bad. I feel like a lot of people have that notion that just because something's, like, mainstream, that a lot of people know about it, a lot of people like it and appreciate it, that it's like average, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to explain it.
I know, and it's like, it's just like, okay, I understand that you want to seem unique and you want to have this thing to yourself, or, like, to yourself and your other friends.
Yeah.
You know, keep it to yourself and feel like, oh, I found this, like, really cool thing that nobody else knows about. But at the same time, it's kind of really annoying when people, okay, I hear this thing a lot, and sometimes I agree, like, TikTok does ruin a lot of songs for me just because it's very overplayed. But I don't get annoyed because other people are listening to it. I get annoyed because I keep having to hear it to the point where I get annoyed with it. But when I hear people say TikTok ruins songs, I thought they were going to be like, yeah, it's very overplayed. Mostly people are just like, okay,
it's become
too many people like it now, thus I don't like it.
Yeah, and, like, don't you want your artists to
do this is you so know? Funny. I saw this one reel, okay? They were like, why do people want underground artists to not be found? Like, why are they gatekeeping them? They're just trying to feed their family.
Like,
so funny.
I obviously we can't like delve too deep into this, but like I see like that in Billie Eilish. Like I feel like a lot of people just make it a point.
Remember our Billie Eilish.
I feel like that was like the copycat time, right? Like when those songs have been released. So I feel like a lot of people really like tried gatekeeping, and like when she became mainstream
after that
like,
Bad Guy album, is that what it was called?
No, Where Do We All Go When We Fall Asleep.
Yeah,
she was. I feel like people just really like I see it with like Conan Gray, I see it with like Billie Eilish,
like after Heather,
he like really blew up. Like he blew up because of TikTok, and he's always been talented, he's always been amazing and so unique and creative. But I hate the fact that people try gatekeeping and like them kind of make the artists seem like they've sold their passion for fame. Like there's nothing wrong. They're doing what they love and they got popular for it.
Don't you want them to get more money or like be more popular?
I know. Like I honestly don't know people's
I
issues.
I honestly find so much enjoyment in talking about my passions, my music taste, my like fashion taste, whatever. Like I love talking about shows that I watch, and I hate when people are like, okay, like, why are you watching this popular thing? Or, like, they try to gatekeep their own, like
it's so
media.
Weird.
Like,
it's so weird.
It's so odd to me. Like, it's like, okay, sure, do whatever you want. It's just, like, why? Like, there is absolutely no reason.
Yeah. So, like, now moving on to sort of back into individualism. I feel like you've brought this point up to me before, but it has a lot to do with cringe culture.
Yeah, and cringe culture, I feel like, obviously, like, I've said this before, like, it's very subjective. And something that I find cringe, you might find really cool.
Yeah.
Like, who knows? Like, okay, say I find Jake Paul cringe. Some other random 12-year-old boy is going to be like, no, he is my hero. And I can sit here and be like, no, that's cringe. Don't talk to me. I mean, like, maybe I will. Like, I don't like kids. But, like, see, the thing is, it's like, okay, a lot of things which were really popular like in like the 2000s have suddenly become cringe. You know what I mean? Like, okay, people who were our age in like the 2000s, we're still in the 2000s, but what I mean like before 2010, people who were our age, they would do more like, I don't know, kiddish stuff. But now,
with social media, it's
now with social media, it's kind of like we've been forced to grow up. We've been forced to find these things,
you know, like,
these specific things cringe.
One thing so many people point out is that people don't have, like, that awkward puberty stage anymore.
Exactly. Especially, okay, I feel old. I feel kind of old, okay? Because, like, I've seen these, like, freshmen from my school specifically.
Oh
and
my
then,
god, we're not freshmen anymore.
We're juniors. Okay, you're
I'm
a senior.
Senior.
I'm almost a senior.
You're
like,
gonna be a
2 months.
Senior in 2 months.
Yeah, but like the thing is, it's so surprising to me because when I was like in 2020, I was the most insufferable person you'd ever meet. Like, how are these people like so like fashion forward and like they have their whole like aesthetic and like. I don't know.
Insane to me. But that's what I mean. Like, back to cringe culture, like, I feel like a lot of people, just because it's, like, different from their own, like, taste, they call it cringe. Like, let's say, like, as we said in the beginning of the episode, I was like, ew, 40s, like, no. And all, like, okay. I think there's a problem with that because I feel like that encourages bestiality, but we're not going to talk about
See,
that.
See, there's like, okay, I don't know much about furries, but I do have a friend.
Oh my
who
god!
Who has a friend who is a furry.
Are you wild?
Listen to me. It's just the thing is, they like dressing up as animals and not all of them are into bestiality. So I don't think we should generalize.
Okay, no, but hold
because
on.
That would
why
be hypocritical of us to generalize them based on their aesthetic.
Okay, but wait. Why do they
I
like...
I still don't like furries though.
Okay.
But like, you know.
Okay, I'm so sorry about the way this furry discussion's going, but why... Why do they want to dress up like animals? For what purpose?
I don't know. Bro.
Isn't it like that?
I don't know. Okay, but anyways.
Guys, I just relate being a furry with bestiality. If there's anyone who is a furry and is listening to this, like, let me know.
We're sorry.
No, let me know if you're into bestiality because I need
Stop.
To verify. No, I just don't. You need to explain. You need to explain yourself. You need to explain your community. Because I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
But anyway, back to that point. Let's act like bestiality is not I mean, let's act like furry. Being a furry, or furry culture, whatever, is not about bestiality.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put that assumption aside. Because obviously, that's me assuming. I've never had a furry come up to me and be like, oh, yo, I'm into this.
Stop then.
Okay, so that's what I mean. Like, I am saying, like, oh, cringe, cringe. But, like, the thing is, it's not cringe. Like, because some... Like, I don't think there's anything cringy. I feel like it's just us who, like, make up that notion in our minds. Like, exactly. There's nothing truly that cringy.
And the thing is, for me, like, in 2020, I thought all these things were cool. And then, like, literally right now, if I look at my old, like, I don't know, like, notes or like photos,
yeah,
like something that I saved, and I'm like, what the hell was I doing? Like, that is so cringe. Like, yeah. I don't think that is cool at all.
Like, even for example, do you remember the crying emoji, like the laughing crying one?
It's, I still think that's cringe.
Yeah, that's what, like, I used to use it so much, mm-hmm. and then it blew up all over like TikTok, and people like started like saying like, oh, it's like, cringe, that is the most cringy,
don't use the laughing crying emoji.
Yeah, so like the- Like, till date, I don't use it. Like, same. I change, I switch to the crying, like, just stream like down. Like,
crying one.
Yeah, yeah, no, just the crying one, yeah.
That's
so, like,
only because, like, I don't actually think it's great. It's just because everyone else does.
Yeah, that's what I feel like, that's what happened with me. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, oh, other... Like, first of all, I'm already, like, a really bad... I'm a really bad texter to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, I've heard people, like, literally one of my best friends kind of refuses to text me because my texting is that bad.
What that, like, do
it's,
you mean?
It's, like, talking to another person, apparently.
Exposing them on a podcast?
Yeah, so that's it. I'm calling you out. You have to accept all aspects of my personality.
Damn.
But anyway, so, like, stuff like that. So I adjusted my emojis. Because I was already a cringy texter, so my emojis can't be cringy too, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, that's also, like, an example if you just wanted to, like, get a thing over it.
Yeah. But moving aside from cringe culture, I think one more, like, problematic thing, like, very problematic thing in my eyes is when people use cultures as an aesthetic.
Oh, like, my God.
As you were talking about, like, animes and weebs or whatever.
My culture is not your commodity.
Yeah. They have this obsession with wanting to be Japanese. Or, like, they find the whole country aesthetic.
Ollie London.
Everything about... Ollie London is about, like, Korea. First he started with Korea. Then he moved to Japan. Nice. Then he moved to Thailand. No. Okay. Obsession.
I'm waiting for him to become Indian.
We're not considered Asian, but also he doesn't care about us.
No,
maybe we're safe that way.
Oh my God.
If
no.
You guys don't know who Ollie London is, please look it up. It is so entertaining.
Oh my God. This person has gone through all of the transitions.
Yeah, you know, like,
it's like...
You know, he said he detransitioned and he became like a conservative white man. That's what he said.
Did he get like surgery to alter his eyes?
Yeah, like he did. He wanted to look Asian. Okay, anyways, we're like going off the topic.
Yeah, I feel like we spoke about Ollie London another time though.
We did. Like, we like brought him up, I'm pretty sure. But
yeah,
what
we love Ollie London. I'm kidding. We don't stand.
Anushka, you're ruining our reputation this episode.
We don't stand Ollie London.
Okay.
But sorry, one more person I did want to bring up with this whole like culture religion is Trisha Paytas.
Stop it.
Okay, she's...
That woman pisses me off.
She's hilarious. I think she's so funny. Like, she's a troll, okay? She's, like, the funniest part of it, man.
She's not even doing it on purpose.
Yeah, no, but, like, she switched her religion, like, 4 different times.
She said, at one point, she said she had multiple personality disorders and she forgot she said that.
Guys, we're not laughing
at this. She's an icon, bro.
She's honestly, like, I find her so funny. Mm-hmm. But, like, there was a point at once where India was being appreciated, okay? She took up, like, Hare Krishna, no?
I did not see that.
Yeah, she did. She went to the temple. She picked up souvenirs from the temple, like a Lord Trisha notebook, you know?
Everything I've learned about Trisha Paytas was against my will.
No, and also she called it Hair Krishna. The whole time. So, like, even with religions, even with, like, culture, people see that also as an aesthetic. And that's what I think we find really problematic.
Yeah.
Is that not everything is about aesthetics. Not everything is, like, a niche group. Like, exactly. Me being Hindu doesn't make me any more, like, aesthetic. Exactly. You know?
And the thing is, oh my god, especially with Asian cultures, like, very specifically, like, Korea and Japan. Because, like, K-pop is very, like, popularized and anime is very popularized. And a lot of people have this obsession with the way Asians look, the way Asians act, their culture, their food, their dancing.
Let's say East Asian.
East Asian, yeah.
Not even
like, but they're okay. See, the thing is, like, they mainly focus on Korea and Japan, but at one point, like, it started to just become people who have monolids. Like, even...
That's such a, like, a weird way
It's very, like, fetishizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, talking about fetishizations, even, like, skinny. Like, what was that called? It's called skinny spo... Like, on Tumblr, it's called, skin spo... Like, I don't... Thin spo. Yeah. That was, like, the biggest thing that promoted EDs, and that, too, was aestheticized.
Yeah.
And that's, like... See, the thing is... Okay, fine. At like... 18, I mean, I'm not 18, sorry, why did I say 18? At 16, I feel 18. Okay, at 16, like, being a person who's really aware, who has a podcast and constantly researches about stuff like this, I'm aware to, like, a good amount.
Yeah.
Okay, but, like, to people who are younger, who are, like, 12 or 11, who are getting access to the internet, and they stumble upon these, like, portals of, like, thinspo and, like, being Asian, Korean. And okay, like, it's so scary.
It's so weird, especially if you're, like, East Asian yourself. Yeah. And you see these people, like, just fetishizing the hell out of your culture.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they don't respect you as a person. They just are obsessed with your culture. Like, they
You're just part of that Pinterest board.
Exactly.
It's, like, it's really so degrading odd. In a way. Even though it's, like... It's, like, somebody's, like... Okay, like, for example, like, a woman who's, like, really, like, conventionally attractive and beautiful and all.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, let's say she gets catcalled in the street. Yeah. Like, that is degrading because she's just being objectified. Like, that's it, like...
She's just trying to live her life and you're, like, obsessing over her.
Yeah,
and it's not even about her personality. It's just the, like, her.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, not everyone is comfortable with that. Mm. And after a point, like, okay, fine, once or twice you call me pretty, I'll be like, hee hee.
Mm.
Okay, but, like, if you, like, take away everything else from me and you just, you pinpoint, like, my looks and you say, this is the part of you that should be worshipped and nothing about me, nothing else about me is really even considered, like, that is, in a way, really degrading, right?
Exactly.
Because you're telling me only, like, one part of me is worthy of being, like, looked at.
And the thing is, they treat these, like, East Asian people as if they're, like, non-human angelic beings, but at the same time they don't, like,
and also there's so much racism, there's still so much racism against them, like, oh my god. But I want to move away from this, like, aspect of the discussion. I really want to go into diversity. The funniest thing, like, the funniest part about all these aesthetics and niches and, like, everything is that we still lack diversity. I think a great place to actually observe this is with the clean girl aesthetic, which is basically really whitewashed and really, like, it only caters to one group, and that's white privileged women. Okay, because, like, let's say, like, and obviously this is, like, my experience of being Indian and what I can see, and especially, like, on TikTok, if you go and see, you'll understand what I mean. But the sort of things that they're promoting clean girl, like, thing is, like, for example, like, Pilates, like, that's another aesthetic. Pilates princess is another aesthetic. But, like, let's say, like, doing, like, really minimal makeup and, like, wearing these, like, gold hoops and just, like, tying her hair in a bun. Like, if an Indian girl does these things, okay, let's say a dusky Indian girl, then they're gonna call her unhygienic. Like, I've seen it. I've seen it on TikTok. I've seen it in our reels and all. Like, TikTok's not banned for us. But you could really see that happening. And the thing is, like, for a lot of Indians, like, me too, like, I deal with this, and it's one of my big, really, it's one of my really big insecurities, is that my face is not entirely one skin tone.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a lot of people, like, a lot of white people don't have that, and I feel like it's a thing we, a lot of people struggle with, like, having this insecurity. Like, for example, my dark circles are a much different color than, like, the rest of my face. So, under my eyes, if I don't put concealer, it's definitely a different color.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like because you didn't really see these in, like, a lot of our beauty, like, you didn't see these in our beauty idols or people used to watch in movies and all, it eventually becomes an insecurity.
Yeah.
There's no diversity, there's no representation. So, like, especially in this clean girl culture, which is all about, like, being minimum and bare and not using that mm-hmm. much.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like stuff like this, like, pigmentation and then your hair, like, for example, not all being, like, flat, like, mm-hmm. having like, flyaways and all, is eventually considered unhygienic. You know yeah. what I mean? Do you get the point I'm trying to make?
Like, it's just, the thing is, the funniest part about this is the fact that, like, brown and black girls were the inspiration for the clean girl aesthetic.
Yeah,
because we've been doing it forever, like oiling yeah. our hair.
Oh my god, putting, like, it makes yeah. me mad. It really makes me mad. And I swear that I butt chan.
Exactly. And if, like, a black girl or a brown girl were to wear a messy bun, as you said, they would be looked at as, like, messy or, like, not cute. But if yeah. a white girl did that, they'd be like, oh my god, so cute, you know, like.
Yeah, and the problem with a lot of aesthetics nowadays, I feel like you can really see this on Pinterest and all, is mm. that it's very whitewashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really whitewashed. And mm. that's what I mean, like, it lacks diversity.
Yeah. And a lot of times, it's just built for one race. You know what yeah. I mean? And it's like, if you're gonna, like, come up with this whole aesthetic, why are you only, like, restricting it to one race? Like, okay, let me give an example. I have seen this, like, discussion somewhere on Instagram, and I saw this one, like, Indian woman who was wearing, like, gothic clothing and, like, gothic fashion, and people in her comments were like, hey, you're not actually goth, like, original goths are only white people. What oh does that God. Even mean? Like, you're just straight up being, like, you're keeping a race away from an aesthetic. That's, like, a whole new level of, like, gatekeeping. Oppression. And, yeah, oppression in a way, yeah. like, that's so odd to me.
And that's what, like, there's a lot of exclusivity mm-hmm. in these aesthetics and niches. Like, I feel yeah. like there's a lot of elitism also. Mm-hmm. Just because some people are part of certain aesthetics, I feel elite. But yeah. I feel like we've already touched upon this. A really important thing about aesthetic culture I really want to point out and discuss is overconsumption. Now, this comes mm-hmm. with trends. I feel like because there's so many trends and because there's so many, like, there's, like, so many things you could possibly follow and so many categories you can explore and
it's
discover.
It's overwhelming, to be honest.
Yeah, and that leads to overconsumption because mm-hmm. we're consuming so many things to fit into so many things, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you look at, like, Shein, they have, like, new products coming in every, like,
fast fashion
day.
Reference
yeah.
to our whole episode.
We did a whole episode about this, guys. Mm. Please watch it.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I mean, please listen to it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, like, I mean, like, because, do you get what I mean? Like, because there's so many trends mm-hmm. that caters, like, these specific aesthetics being made, mm-hmm. there's so many things in the, like, in the market that's being specifically made for this in the fast fashion realm.
Yeah.
And people buy that and they overconsume, and then when that trend is out, even those things get
those
tossed
clothes
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of sad because I bought a lot of clothes which I thought were, like, really cool, and I wore them once or twice, but then the trend went away, and I'm like, and I suddenly feel like I can't wear those anymore.
Yeah, because then it's
it'd be
cringy.
Old, like, it'd be cringe, or like too, like, last year, too last month, like.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. Like, there's also, that's also such a huge problem mm-hmm. with trends.
Yeah.
And that does fall under this, like, whole aesthetic culture realm.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that are just so problematic mm-hmm. with this entire mindset, I guess.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's so sad because I like the fact that there are aesthetics. I like that these things are there because, honestly, like, for example, if I resonate with light academia
mm-hmm.
and I find people who resonate with that too, then I can pick up on their, like, music taste and book taste because I'll probably, like, preach to me, right? I'll probably
yeah.
like those things too. And, like, these aesthetics kind of create these communities, especially for young girls to feel included and to, like, be
mm-hmm.
able to expand their interests and all. So
yeah.
they are great, but then there are also these, like, things, like, literally having low-key racism.
Yeah.
And, like, fast, like, overconsumption, like, promoting
yeah.
so many other negative ideals.
Mm-hmm. And obviously these are extremes, but I've seen it happen a lot with places like Twitter.
Oh,
Twitter is
and Tumblr.
A horrible place. And Tumblr was, like, before, but
yeah.
I don't know what happens.
Twitter
there
is
right
like Tumblr
now.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
It's
yeah.
like a upgraded version of Tumblr, to be honest.
And okay. I feel like we're extending too long, but, like, I really feel like we need to bring this up. Mm-hmm.
Mental illnesses, the obsession with making an aesthetic for some reason.
And, like, smoking and vaping. And smoking.
Everything that is, like, not meant to be an aesthetic has somehow become an aesthetic. Because, okay, you can be an addict to smoking, which is, again, a mental illness. You can be an addict to vaping, which is, again, a mental illness.
Is it a mental illness?
Yeah, like, getting addicted to some... Dude... Like, drug abuse. Yeah, addiction is a mental illness.
Oh, damn. Okay. I just thought
what else do you think? Okay, see, the thing is, it's both biological and mental, obviously.
So, addiction itself is a mental illness.
Yeah, you know, so, I don't know if we should talk about this in this episode, but when you become an addict and when you take a substance, your brain physically, like, psychologically and biologically craves for that, and it has, like, a lower level of I think
functioning,
like, some sort of thing is lowered in your body, so unless you take that drug, it's not gonna go back to high again. So if you're, like, these withdrawal symptoms are really hard to get through, that's why you have these cravings and you keep going back to doing drugs.
Oh my god, is this why I'm addicted to sugar?
Maybe that is the case, you know, who knows.
Yeah.
But anyways, this obsession with making mental illnesses your new way to be an individualistic.
Yeah.
Okay, see, the thing is, obviously, you can tell people, okay, I have ADHD, if you actually have a diagnosed illness. And even if you don't, like, if you have, like, undiagnosed ADHD or autism, and you feel like you really resonate with some of the symptoms, and it's, like, the coping mechanisms are helping you, I feel like, okay, sure, that's fine.
Oh,
but
my
it's
God.
Just when they start... diagnosing themselves, like, self-diagnosing is kind of complicated in its own way.
Yeah, that's another topic for, like, another episode.
Another topic. And the thing is, we're not psychological experts, so who knows.
Hold on, I want to bring up one point. Do you know, like, okay, guys, I no longer have access to TikTok, which makes me really sad. It's been, like, a year since it's been banned.
2 years, bro. Wait, it was banned in 2020.
That's, like, 3 years. Okay, yeah.
But I've
TikTok,
seen
TikTok, I mean, reels have been there.
YouTube compilations.
Wait, hold on. I don't watch those, but, like, okay, there are TikTokers who fake their disabilities.
Especially, like, tic
syndrome
autism.
Autism,
I feel like that's not that, like, fakeable.
I don't know if there's one particular thing that's really, like, fake.
Dissociative identity disorder also known as multiple personality
disorder.
That is insane. Trisha Paytas, she did that.
Oh my, she's done everything, right? Yeah. But that's
insane. But the thing
insane.
Is, people genuinely build a following out of pretending that they have this mental
they
illness
mold their
just
lives
to seem like they're
stuff.
Unique. And you're not unique for having a mental illness. There's so many people in this world who have that mental illness, and you're making it seem like there's some sort of joke.
And
there's,
like,
some sort of marketing technique.
Yeah, and you're literally, like, hurting them, right? If you take yourself and make yourself a representative of people with disorders that you can't even, like, relate to because you don't have it, then you're spreading, like, false awareness. You're not even helping that community. You're hurting them.
And it's so odd, the fact that they made it an aesthetic. It's like I've literally heard people say, oh my god, I'm so, like, mentally ill, like, oh my god. And it's so odd, like, it's really so
another thing I want to bring up with this, like, I feel like it's related to this, is when Billie Eilish and then when 13 Reasons Why started to grow and, you know, really come to mainstream, I feel like a lot of people really romanticized depression and anxiety. And there was even that whole phase where it was, like, you had to be, like, depressed or anxious to be.
Yeah,
like,
and the fact that they throw around these words, I'm in depression. Like, you can...
Even,
you
like,
can
today,
be,
like, I feel like...
Yeah.
Guys, like, I don't need to call myself out or anything, but I feel like I use the word even like, regardless of how I feel, like, I will use the word depression is in a very light term, because that's how everyone uses it around me. And that's so sad, because that's actually, like, a serious problem. Like, depression is actually really difficult to deal with and manage and to heal from, right? So I feel like, because of that, you know, that whole phase did exist, right? I'm not just tripping.
No, it still does exist. And as a psychology student, I have to say this.
I'm a psychology student too.
Yeah, so, you know.
We all are psychologists.
We all are psychology. But anyways, so as psychology students, we're more, like, open to discussions like this.
Yeah.
So you can be anxious if you don't have anxiety. You can be depressed for a short period of time if you don't have major depressive disorder.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, if you go around telling people, I am in depression, like, not even
that's
as a joke,
different.
You just go and tell people that without a serious diagnosis, I feel like that can be kind of, it's just, it's annoying to me, you know, like.
Yeah, like, you know, another thing, like, this falls more under romanticization rather than aestheticization. But, like,
I feel like both are, like, kind of similar.
Yeah, they're, like, twins. Mm-hmm. You know, like, slight difference, but, like, pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I feel like even, like, because of Wattpad and because of all this, like, the entire, like, mafia storyline has really been elevated.
Yeah.
And the thing is, guys, like, I'm sorry. Like, no. It's not like that. That do a lot of shit.
There's
they call the mafia
for a lot of, like,
reason.
Really scary things that happen. And it's not, like, an aesthetic for
like,
you to be,
human
like,
trafficking.
Yeah.
Probably. No, half these Wattpad stories about the parents selling the girl to the mafia also, no.
I don't read Wattpad, no, please.
I've had discussions about these. So, like, and that's so harmful because, like, Wattpad has catered to children, okay? Like, to teens.
Dude, when I was 12 or 11, I discovered Wattpad. Like, I wasn't, like, a Wattpad fan.
I never discovered Wattpad, you know? That is the word.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I never went to that Wattpad stage, necessarily. Mm-hmm. But, like, obviously, like, a lot of my friends discussed.
Out of curiosity, you probably read one or
two.
Yeah.
But I got bored. I was like,
yeah, they were,
like,
boring, and they were, like, kind of just, like, whatever, like, it was just like,
yeah. Oh my god, the Harry Styles
people.
Ones you sell yourself to Harry
Stop.
Styles. That's what I mean. Like, even that, and the thing is, guys, I'm not saying that everything has to be that deep in life. I'm not saying you're not allowed to indulge in like a mafia
but we're
romance.
About socialist
but you know,
so.
I had a friend who used to really romanticize like mafia and all. Like, guys, this is not how it is.
Yeah,
please. Please don't fall into that.
And speaking of Wattpad making aesthetics out of things, I honestly find a lot of these tropes, like romantic tropes, really, like, they're scary sometimes.
Like the teacher-student
like, really, those are like straight up jail time.
You know, like, like Pretty Little Liars.
Dude, stop it. Like, Pretty Little Liars was a fever dream, bro.
I never watched it. I still haven't watched
Dude,
it because you ruined it for me.
Listen, I watched it and I had absolutely no idea what was going on. If I watched it today, I would still have zero idea what's going on. I swear if I even sat down and studied that show, I would have no idea what's going on because nothing made sense.
So that's what, like, I feel like, obviously a lot of people would be like, that's so different. Like, that's not the same topic, but it is. It does fall under aestheticization.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of, like, you have to be really careful of what you're sort of, like, consuming. You have to be careful of what you're thinking and, like, what you're doing. The thing is, at the end of the day, it's not wrong to be part of an aesthetic. I feel like I identify with so many aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
And I use that as sort of a blueprint to expand my interests in those, like, fields. For example, like, I would... for example, like, dark academia, like, if I like that aesthetic, and I kind of, like, look at the reading lists and all through that, and, you know, like, it's a vibe. But the thing is, that's not my identity. Like, that, like, being a dark academia girl is not my identity. I don't feel like you should make your aesthetic your identity. It's a, it can be a part of your identity.
It can be your personal style, the way you dress, what you read. I don't know.
It can mold a lot of aspects of your identity, but it's not you.
Yeah.
You are not just an aesthetic, you know?
Because if you really think about it, some random person on the internet made that aesthetic and it became popularized. So you're just trying to live up to them. You don't even know who they are.
Yeah. So, like, that's the thing. Like, use aesthetics to figure out yourself, discover yourself. But don't make that, like, yourself. Like, don't.
I mean, if you really resonate with it so much to the point where you think, this is me, like, honestly, do whatever you want. But the thing is, you don't need to feel like you're restricted to a certain criteria. I've said this before. Like, you don't need to feel restricted to that.
Yeah, and you don't have to listen to anyone else when it comes. Like, for example, if you want to be an e-girl, and then the style which you're, like, partaking in is not really considered an e-girl and somebody's trying to shame you for it, don't listen. Do what you want.
Yeah.
Okay, it's your life, your vibe. Okay, and I just want to, like, talk about individuality because we tackle that a lot throughout this episode. Is that at the end of the day, no matter what you do, no matter how many chans you undertake, or no matter how many, like, niches you take and follow and aesthetics you become a part of, at the end of the day, you're still unique. You're your own individual. Even if somebody tells you, like, oh my god, you're so basic, you're not. There's only one of you here, okay?
Yeah.
So, like, appreciate that and live with that.
Yeah. But at the same time, if that is your whole, like, superiority complex, like, if you see, like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm so different from all of you guys. I have this, like, I'm not like you at all. Like, I have underground music taste. I have an underground style of fashion or something like yeah. that. And if you make that your whole personality, you degrade others, as you said this before.
Yeah.
That is also weird. Because, like, okay, see, yes, everybody is unique in their own way, but at the same time, you cannot be so unique to the point where nobody else in the world is listening to the same artist as you, because be for real. Yeah. Like, there's obviously going to be people who listen to the same artist as you, especially if it's, like, part of a similar genre. Mm. Like, you're not doing something great if you're just, like, if you only listen to indie artists, if you only do, like, things that other people don't do. Like, you're not some, like, unique, like, hero, angelic god for, like, liking different things than others.
Yeah, and for having, like, a quirkier style, mm-hmm. doesn't make you superior. So,
yeah,
like, that's kind of gross if you go around, like, being like, I'm superior than you. Yeah, that's not I've nice, met okay?
certain people who are like that, and it honestly really pisses me off, because the way they treat these other people, they've literally said, I find everyone else to be an NPC. And if you don't know what an NPC is, it is a non-playable character. And, mm. and, like, they think they're the main character. This and that, yeah. like, okay, sure, oh be my confident.
God, mean girl syndrome is something we need to talk oh my God, about yeah. in another...
Episode. But the thing is, like, sure, like, be confident, think you're the main character, but why do you need to degrade others to do that? Like, you yeah. can be confident and still be a nice person.
Yeah. See, at the end of the day, we all are different mm-hmm. people. Okay, no matter how many interests we share, we're still individual. Okay, yeah. don't shame others. As Justin Bieber's mom said, hate mm-hmm. is ugly. Don't be ugly. Okay? But, Akila, I have one question for you.
Yeah.
What type of girl am I today?